Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
Okay, so this message is we're going to take a break from Romans because I felt it was unfair to drag Ben's installment of Romans forward. He needs more time to cook in his heart, and I just didn't want to rush that, so I thought I'd rush myself instead. So that's fun. This message is actually formed a while ago. I did a couple of messages called, one was called Shipwrecked and the other one was called something, Lost or something like that. And it was about Paul and being shipwrecked and our lives. And this was a bit of an offshoot of that, which I never preached and I never really fully worked on, but it was an idea that I had and I just had some words. And the words are the title of this message, From Here to Eternity. So we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning, if that is okay. I actually do believe God is, I know that God understands and God was not shocked that this morning was going to happen this way as much as perhaps we were, and we have to, you know, jostle around to bring a whole service back together. But I just know that I know in the midst of that, there are some things here that I believe that some of us need to hear, that some of us can apply to our lives. I stop short from saying all of us because I don't want to say that, but I sort of do mean that. There is something here that we can apply to our lives in the way we see things. And I think it's really important because one of the things that I've been really interested in this year, and that is to help equip us as individuals to go through the very storms of our lives. People around us are great and they are great support and they are great help and they can give us great advice and practical help as well. But there is nothing more important and nothing more powerful and lasting than getting something from the Word of God yourself and from your relationship with God to be able to anchor you in your faith. And I've wanted to continually push us back to the things of God. People are great and we need brothers and sisters. We need people. We need connection and we need people around us. But what we really need above all of that is the Word of God and your relationship with your God and an understanding of that. So I'm pushing more and more down that line, and this message is all actually about that, to have our view fixed in eternity. So from here to eternity. So 2 Corinthians 4, I hope it comes out. It's not fully cooked. So, you know, please don't judge my structure, Evan, or anyone. It's just going to come out as it is. Is that okay? Cool. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says this. For our light and momentary troubles. Most people would probably, that are going through troubles, may want to walk out right now. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. In verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What a beautiful scripture. A magnificent insight into the way we see things. So there's a film, and it's from 1953. Some of you were around then. Called From Here to Eternity. Its title itself has lodged itself in English language as a summary for something that spans all of time. A love, a journey, a story that goes on without end. But before Hollywood grabbed that or borrowed that phrase, the Bible was already telling exactly that kind of story, a story that begins before the foundations of the world and stretches into a future that has no sunset. I should be a poet, really, shouldn't I? That was quite lovely, really. The Apostle Paul actually wrote these words from a prison cell. He had been beaten, shipwrecked, and left for dead. And yet he called his sufferings light and momentary. Shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead. Yet he describes them as light and momentary. Not because they were small, not because he was numb to pain, but because he had learned to see from here to eternity. He had developed what we might call an eternal perspective, the ability to measure the present moment not against itself, but against the weight of glory that is coming. So this morning I want to share with you three, not just points this morning, but three anchors that Paul gives us for living that way, for living in a here to eternity way. Three truths that, when they settle deep into our hearts, change the way that we endure, the way we invest, and the way we hope. The way we endure. See, the way we invest is really important and really close to my heart. And the way we hope. And the way we hope, I love so much. Again, we should name a church after that. But anchor number one, everyone turn to your person next to you so I know you're awake and say, anchor number one. I have a small title to anchor number one. The weight of glory outweighs the weight of suffering. Something really quick and easy you can remember. The weight of glory outweighs the weight of suffering. Paul says our troubles are light and momentary. That is either the most tone-deaf thing ever written or it is the most hope-filled. It depends entirely on what he is comparing them to. Paul is not comparing suffering to comfort. Let's not misunderstand that. He is not saying things could be worse. He places our troubles on one side of the scales and eternal glory on the other. And his verdict, because I'm in my courtroom phase again, and his verdict is that our troubles are light. The verdict is that our troubles are light. Don't chuck things at me. I didn't say it. We need to be careful not to misread him at this point. Paul is not dismissing suffering. This is a man who catalogued his hardships in 2 Corinthians 11. He was shipwrecked three times, not just once, not just twice, but thrice. Thrice times he was shipwrecked. You'd think he'd learn. Flogged. Who's been flogged? Stoned. Who's been stoned? Don't put your hands up. You'll get yourself in trouble. Who's been cold? Me, I've been freezing lately. Hungry, in danger from rivers and robbers. Got to watch those rivers and robbers. And his own country folk, his own people. Oh, there's a wonderful psalm when it talks about, I've thought about this long, for many years. I can't remember where it is. That's how much I've thought about it. It's in Psalms. And it talks about that the enemies, we stand on our walls, armed and ready, looking out for our enemies, alert and looking at our enemies. And little did we know that our enemies are from within the walls, the ones that we walk to the house of God together. Oh, it saddens me. It saddens me that we can turn on our own folk. Let's be a church that does never turns on our own. There's enough evil in this world. There's enough wrong in this world. Don't turn on your own. Love and care and support. Hold their hands up. Show grace and perseverance. I know some needs more than others, but, you know, we've got it. Let's just genuinely be kind and love one another, because that's how everyone will know that we are Christ's disciples, is the way we love people. That wasn't in my notes either. That's just another little offshoot from something else I've been talking about. I have no idea now, but he is not writing all of that from a sunbathed veranda. He was writing it from experience. And yet he calls it light and momentary. Why would he do that? Because he is not comparing that suffering to comfort. He's comparing it to the glory. And when you place any earthly suffering, no matter how crushing it feels, on the scales next to eternal glory, the scales don't even come close. He knew what suffering felt like from the inside, which makes his verdict all the more remarkable, yet he still calls it light. In Romans 8, verse 18, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The word consider in that verse is a Greek word that you know I'm going to get wrong because I only speak French like Ben, so I'll try some Greek, but it's logizomai. You know it's not correct, but we'll just say it is for this point. It's an accountant's term. Paul has not arrived at his conclusion through wishful thinking. He has done it through maths. Who's good at maths? Steve? Yeah, Steve. If you ever want to know, yeah, I'll go there later. I'll just get caught up. Don't distract me, Michelle. That was your fault. He's done the math. He has weighed it up carefully and reached a verdict. Hang on, Steve. 15 goals, 20. Let's see. Can't be. 110. Right. You're rusty, mate. You just tweak up there. The scales don't even register. It's not blind optimism. It's a theological arithmetic. How's that for 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning? And the numbers are not close. Some of us here are in pain right now that feels impossibly heavy. A diagnosis that you didn't see coming, a grief that won't lift, a season that seems like it's never going to end, that you can't see where the sun's going to shine. Paul was not asking you to pretend that it's not heavy. So sometimes we read things in the Bible and say, oh, it's okay. They're just words. It's okay for Paul to say that. But he doesn't know my situation. Yes, he does. And he's writing it from his situation. He's not writing it about a situation. He's writing it from his situation, from his pain, from his heaviness, from a season that feels like there's no end, from a bitterly cold winter that he feels like the world is going to collapse around him because it's so cold and so fierce. And it goes on, but he writes this from that place. So it's not just something that sounds good and that idealistic that you have to get past. He's writing it from that. So let this be an anchor to your pain, an anchor to the way you see from here to eternity, and an anchor to see how you are going to weigh these things up that you're going through on the scales with eternity attached to them. He's asking you to weigh it against something heavier still, the resurrection glory that is coming. I read this story of someone once having a visit to an old observatory. The guide covered every window until the room was completely dark. And then she made one small hole, no bigger than a 5-cent coin in the curtain. A single thread of light crossed the room. And she said this is how stargazers first mapped the stars. Not by staring into a blinding sun, but by letting one precise beam in. Paul is inviting us to do something similar. Don't be overwhelmed by the full brightness of eternity, or the huge spans and how minds can't comprehend it. Just let one beam of it in fall across your present moment and watch how it changes everything that you see. Anchor number two, what is unseen is more real than what is seen. Again, another small title. We live in a culture that trusts what it can measure, what is a photograph and what we touch. If you can't see it, it isn't real. But Paul makes a claim that cuts directly against this. What is unseen is eternal, and what is seen is temporary. In other words, the physical world, the world we experience with our five senses, is the less real of the two. It's the shadow. The unseen world is the substance. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. I read an article or a summary from C.S. Lewis or about C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis captured this whole concept brilliantly in The Last Battle, the final Narnia chronicle, if you haven't seen it. As the characters pass into Aslan's country, they realize that Narnia, that the Narnia that they had always known was merely a copy, a sketch, or a prelude. The real Narnia, the permanent one, was more vivid, more solid, more fully itself than anything that they had experienced before. C.S. Lewis was not writing fantasy for fantasy's sake. He was making a theological point. The unseen world is not less real than this one. In actual fact, it is more real. So this is not escapism for us. Christians are sometimes accused of being so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. I have criticized that before, but perhaps the reverse is actually true. The people who have changed this world most profoundly have been those who were anchored most deeply in the eternal. It is because they saw the unseen that they could endure the seen. I'll say that last bit again. It is because they saw the unseen that could, so that they could endure the seen. Sometimes we have to endure. Sometimes there is endurance, areas, seasons in our lives that we've just got to endure to get to the end. Anchor number three, eternity transforms how we live today. This is my favorite. This is by far the most revelationary to me. This is by far something I knew some time ago that God whispered this into my heart when I asked him some certain questions. An eternal perspective does not produce passivity. Like you are not passive, you are active. It produces radical generosity. When you know what is seen is temporary, you hold it loosely. You give differently. You risk differently. You love differently. Eternity is not the reason to disengage from the present. It's the reason to invest in it more deeply, but invest in the things that last. My personal revelation from this is you can get really busy in life. You can do all sorts of things. I wanted a life that counts. I wanted to give of what I have into something that I knew had worth to it. The phrase came to me, invest in eternity. So I didn't know what that meant, but as I travelled along, I started to look at what has got eternity attached to it. And I thought, well, God himself has eternity attached to it. I'm going to invest my life in God. His word, heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word will remain. His word has eternity attached to it. I'm going to invest in his word. And I'm staring at things that have got eternity or people that have got eternity attached to it. So for the rest of my life, I want to give generously into those areas that have got eternity attached to them. God, His Word, and people. That's all I needed. I have to do all these other things in my life, but they're all just a means to an end for me. They're all just stuff that I've got to be done. But the areas that I see that I'm going to invest in. See, you have money, okay? So sometimes you use money to buy groceries or, you know, buy a new blower vac. Yeah, I did. I was really happy with my purchase. So you spend money, but then some of you more diligent people invest money somewhere. So you think about where your investment is going to go, whether it's in shares or property or something else. Into a startup, you invest them. You think carefully about what you're going to invest into the kingdom of God, maybe. You think about how you're going to invest what you have. Well, I started to think that about my whole life. Where do I want my whole life? What is this life all about for me, and where do I want to invest it? So even though I have to spend time and effort and money in other areas, those three things always ring true to me. Even though I'll speak to other areas and stuff like that, I want to be speaking to my God. I want to invest my time into my God, into His Word. While I've still got eyes to read and my ears to hear, I still want to be able to read His Word, even though the words are getting blurry. I know Bibles are making these words smaller these days, I'm telling you. And they're just making them meld into one. But anyway, we'll work it out. I find if you get closer, it's okay. But anyway, or make it bigger on your iPad. But whilst I still can do that, that's where my investment's going to be. That's my conviction. It doesn't have to be yours. It's mine. But I've got an understanding of now of what eternity, investing in eternity, is all about and why it's so important. That's how my love for people started. That's how my love and the grace for people started. Because I realize who you are. And how much God loves you that He has placed eternity within you. So I want to do everything I possibly can to invest my life into those three areas. Paul's closing instructions in 1 Corinthians 15, after his great chapter on resurrection, is not for us to float away into some mystical contemplation. It is this: therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Eternity is not a reason to do less. It is the reason to give everything, because in Christ, nothing given for Him will be lost. You know, my old pastor used to have a saying about areas that God may put on our hearts to give up or to give to Him. It might be an attitude. It might be some pain. It might be things you're going through. And he used to say this. He said, Every death in Christ is followed by a resurrection. So everything that you lay before the feet of Jesus is followed by resurrection. And resurrection is so powerful and so pure and so amazing that you never really have to give up anything. It's just that God changes it. Something that was perhaps dead in your life then gets brought back to life, but in a new way. And so I just really have this conviction that I don't have to worry about what I have to give up. I'm not concerned. I don't want to hold onto anything that is going to interfere. There, I allow God to challenge and convict and bring stuff to the surface. And Hebrews 11, 1 again, and now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Confidence is not passive. It reshapes your calendar, your wallet, your relationship, your risk tolerance. The person who truly believes in resurrection lives differently. today in our ordinary hours because they are investing in a currency that does not devalue. The currency of eternity doesn't devalue. It just gets stronger. So the guys can come up this morning. I just want to say a prayer over our lives this morning. So I'm aware there are many needs and areas in people's lives that they're going through. Some we've had dealings with, some we've had to help to try and help with, some we've been praying for. But there is nothing more powerful than when your God touches you, shows you, gives you an understanding, reveals something to you. So if we can get an understanding of those three anchors that Paul had a perspective on, about anchoring our life to from here to eternity, understanding the scales that we weigh up our lives are, we generally put something bad there and something worse there and see which one's bad or worse, to see which one's heavier load, whether this problem or that problem. But if we load all our problems on one side, and then we understand that the glory of eternity on the other, all of our problems don't measure against this. So a change of perspective, a change of seeing something. Is it hard? Of course it's hard. Is it possible? Paul tells us. Paul shows us. Paul helps us to understand that absolutely it's possible. In actual fact, I'd put more credence on Paul's words than my own. Any advice that I could give or anyone else could give, I would still go back to the words so much more because he was living it. Again, he wasn't writing it from a sunbathed veranda looking out to his favourite bay or beach with sun glistening in, nice coffee on his table, just writing some notes for us that are going through pain and anguish to say, do this and you'll get through. He was writing it from a prison cell. He was writing it from a prison cell after he catalogued all the issues of his life. I think Paul knew. So let's drag some of those anchors for his life into our own and see what happens. Hey, what have you got to lose? What have you, if you've carried this pain and this perspective for so long, what have we got to lose? You've only got everything to gain and a freedom to live that Christ died for, to live in that very resurrected life. Can I pray for you this morning? Lord, open our eyes to the unseen. Let eternity sit heavy and beautiful on our hearts, heavy enough to shift our priorities, beautiful enough to lift our hope. Today we confess how easily we are captured by what is seen and temporary. Recalibrate us. May we live from here to eternity with our eyes fixed on what is eternal and our hands fully given to your work. Amen. I never normally read a prayer, but I felt it was so needed this morning to be precise and clear of what this is all about. So God bless you. I pray that that will be something you can allow permeate your hearts and that you can consider. It's an invitation from Paul from here to eternity. God bless you and hang around for a coffee. We'd love to spend some time with you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.